Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. I was in Bungoma, 24th to 30th April with a team of seven people, but now I'm back in my home in America and with my family. And so today I'm coming to you from my office, in America, to bring you good news of hope for Bungoma and for Western Kenya, for Uganda and Burundi and Rwanda and throughout East Africa. You can always listen to my Voice of Hope radio program on every Sunday at 7:30 on Sasa Radio in Bungoma, or you can listen to it on the internet by going to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org. So I bring everyone greetings in the name of Jesus, and we had a great time when we were in Bungoma, and I brought a team of seven people, and we did two leadership conferences, two women's conferences, two children's camps, as well as some other activities that we'll talk about later in the program. If you listen to Southside Radio, when we were in Bungoma on Sunday, 27th April, we did a Voice of Hope radio program live right there on Sasa radio station right in Bungoma with a pastor, Lonnie Curl, who came with me from South Carolina, and he ministered then. And while we were at the radio station, we also recorded the program for Sunday, 3rd May, with an Aaron Williams, also a pastor from South Carolina, who was on the team with us in Kenya, in Bungoma. And so one of the other things we did when we were in Bungoma was that we had three Elijah House graduations with a total of 193 graduates. Now, Elijah House is a counseling program. It's a counseling program to help people discover why they're having the problems they have in life and to help them to resolve those problems and to bring those problems to Jesus Christ. And all of us, you know, we face challenges in our life. We face hard times in our life. And sometimes they affect our lives in bad ways, and they change our attitude. And even though we may be Christians and give our lives to Jesus Christ, we still have these problems in our life that hinder us from really having the victory in our lives. And sometimes we don't recognize those problems. And a lot of problems we have are a result of things that happened to us when we were younger. One big problem a lot of people have is unforgiveness. Jesus said that when you go to him in prayer, you need to ask forgiveness of anybody that you've done anything to, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you, and God will not listen to your prayers. So Jesus said, when you go and pray, the first thing you need to do is forgive people that offended you or done something to you. And see, a lot of times we spend time in prayer and seeking God, but our prayers are ineffective because we have unforgiveness in our heart. And sometimes people have unforgiveness toward a mother or a father or another relative who did something bad to them. Sometimes we have unforgiveness toward other Christians who have done things to us or spoken evil of us. Sometimes it's other people who have attacked us and done. But things have happened in our life that people have done to us, and we have unforgiveness. And unforgiveness hinders us from walking in the fullness of what God has for us. So we need to go and ask people to forgive us. If we've done something to somebody, we need to go and say, please forgive me for what I did or what I said. And then if someone's done something to us, even though they don't ask for forgiveness, we need to go to them and say, I forgive you. You know, I have no more problem with you. I won't let that. I released you from that thing. I don't hold you responsible anymore. So forgiveness restores our relationship with other people and restore our relationship with God. Another big thing that many people deal with is bitterness and anger. Things happen in our lives that cause to be bitter and anger. And that bitter and anger is like a cancer in us that grows in us that makes our life bitter, that makes our life difficult. We need to allow God to remove that bitterness from our life by the Holy Spirit. So this is what Elijah House thinks that Elijah House teaches, and people who go through Elijah House training, they get free from the things in their lives that hinder them with their walk with God, and also equips them to help other people get free from things in their lives. So we had three tremendous Elijah House graduations with a total of 193 graduates. It was a very big, great celebration and lots of food, and we just it was a great time. Then we did some of the women did children's camps, ministered to children. We had two women's conferences, and we had leadership conferences. We also, when we were there on Sunday the 27th, the team put and ministered in three different churches. And the church that I ministered in, I had the privilege of baptizing 57 people in water. Many of them were young people, and it was a great time of celebrations. We baptized these people in water. But also, at one of the leadership conferences, I had a different kind of baptism, which I want to talk about today, the baptism of consecration. And this baptism is not a baptism for people getting saved. It's a baptism consecrating their lives to Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is this baptism of consecration. But the first baptism we see is when you come to Jesus Christ, your Savior. When you accept Christ as your Savior and He comes into your life, you need to be baptized in water. And it's called the baptism of repentance. And we see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Here Peter has preached the first sermon he's ever preached on the day of Pentecost. Over 3,000 people get saved. And when he preaches, the people say, "What must we do to be saved?" And this is what Peter responded to them in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise to you and to your children, to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls." So Peter lays down three important things about salvation, about being born again, becoming a child of God. The first thing he said, he told him to do, you need to repent. Repent means you not only ask God to forgive you of your sin, but you turn away from your sin. See, sin separates from God. And Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on the cross, and his blood was shed to take away our sins. And he rose again to give us victorious life. So every one of you who are here, whether you're saved or not, Jesus died for your sins so you could have a relationship with God. But to come into that relationship with God, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. And part of that is repentance of sin. And the Bible talks about confession of sin. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession is recognizing that I have sinned. I've done something I shouldn't have done. I've said something I shouldn't have said. You know, unforgiveness is a sin. Being angry toward people is a sin. And speaking evil of people is a sin. And things we do in our life are sins. Everyone, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody sinned. There's no one that hasn't sinned. Even a young child, he starts saying no to his parents. He starts disagreeing with his parents. He starts rebelling against his parents. He's walking in sin. So sin is part of who we are. The reason we are all lost and going to hell is because of sin. We were born into sin, and we walk in sin, and we have sin in our lives. Everybody has sin. So everybody needs salvation, and salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus only, because Jesus died for our sin and rose again that we may have victory over sin and walk in all that God has for us. And so one thing we do, we confess our sin. We say, I have sinned, I have done this thing I shouldn't have done, and you need to say what you did and confess to Jesus, confess to God. And when you do, it says God will forgive you of your sin and wash it completely away. But here, For salvation, Peter says you need to repent of your sin. That's more than confessing your sin. That means you turn away from your sin. See, there's some people that say, yes, I've sinned, I did this wrong, but they continue to do the same thing again. That's not salvation. Salvation means you confess your sin, but you repent. You turn away from your sin. You accept Christ as your Savior, but you turn away from the thing that you're doing in your life. You don't continue to do it anymore. The Bible says anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So there is a change that happens in us when we're saved. We repent. We make a change in our life. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. We do that by going to church and learning how to live a Christian life. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must become a child of God to enter the kingdom of God. So we see the first key to salvation is repentance. Then he says, you must be baptized in water. That's the baptism of repentance from sin. And baptism, the Bible teaches it, when you baptize in water, when you go down, your old person used to be goes down in the water and dies, and you come up a new person in Christ Jesus. You're not the same person you were before. You have died to your old nature. You died to your sinful nature. You died to your past and those things, and you come up a new person in Christ Jesus. Now, water doesn't wash away your sin. No, you must confess your sin to get your sin washed away by the blood of Christ. Baptism is just a symbol or outward testimony that you've died to your old man, you've repented, and you've come up a new person in Christ Jesus. Then Peter said, then you must receive the Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit important? Because the Holy Spirit helps you walk out the Christian life. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the helper. He's there to help you walk out your Christian life. So you accept Jesus as your Savior, you confess your sin, you repent of your sin, you're baptized in water, then you need the Holy Spirit to help you walk out your Christian life. Every believer needs to go through these things. Every believer needs to repent. Every believer needs to be baptized in water. And every believer needs to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you to help you live the Christian life. But one of the leadership conferences, God spoke to me about a baptism of consecration. And this is a different kind of baptism. And I took this example from the baptism of Jesus Christ in the River Jordan that we see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 through 17, where Jesus was baptized in water. Now, Jesus had never sinned. Jesus had no sin in him because he is God. He was born without sin. He had no sin in his life. So Jesus was not baptized for sin like we are. Jesus had a baptism of what I call consecration. Now, consecration means to dedicate or separate someone for a particular purpose. So consecration means you dedicate your life to God. You dedicate your life to serve God and to do His will. And so consecration means dedicating or separating someone for a particular purpose. It is living a life surrendered to the will of God. So Jesus consecrated his life to God. Jesus gave his life to Jesus, to God for service. So Jesus, when he was baptized in water, he gave his life to God. When he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him as a dove, and he received the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. It says, when he, Jesus, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus consecrated, gave his life to serving God. At the leaders' conference, we baptized pastors and church leaders. It was not a baptism for sin. It was a baptism of consecrating their lives to Jesus Christ. And we see this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. This thing of consecration. And Paul says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a bondslave and coming in the likeness of men. So we know that Jesus is God. Jesus has all the power that God has. Jesus has all the wisdom and everything God has. He is God. He is not less than God. He is God. Jesus is God. When we see God, we see three parts of God. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. See, you and I have three parts. We have a spirit, a mind, will, and emotions, which are soul, and we have our body. We have a spirit, soul, and body. God is one, but I'm one person, but I have a spirit, soul, and body. God is one, he's not three, but God has three parts. He has God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. They are all God. But when Jesus came to earth, it says there that he laid down all his rights as God. Now, when Jesus came to earth, he didn't have the same power like he had when he was God in heaven. He couldn't be at all places at the same time. See, God is what we call omnipresent in English. He can be everywhere at one time. He's here with me in America. He's with you in Kenya, Uganda. He's in every person, every country of the world. God is everywhere at one time. But when Jesus came to earth, he limited himself and took upon a body. He could only be at one place at one time. Jesus did not operate in his power as God. Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, not considering himself robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus was equal with God. But it says he made himself of no reputation, taking upon the form of a bond slave and coming in the likeness of man. He took no reputation. In the real Greek language or Hebrew language, it says he emptied himself of all his rights. So Jesus emptied himself of all his rights, and then the Spirit of God came upon him and empowered him, and God said, this is my son. The baptism of consecration of Jesus was not a repentance of sin. It was consecrating his life to God. It was emptying himself of all his rights and privileges as God. And even though he was God, he submitted to God the Father. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. In Philippians, it says he became a bond slave of God the Father. So he yielded himself to God. So consecration is giving our life or surrendering ourselves to God. So in this consecration service, we baptize in water and anoint with oil, pastors and church leaders, and we dedicated them to God. They surrendered themselves to God. They surrendered themselves, emptied themselves, and gave themselves fully to God. See, if I took two cups here and I had one cup with water and I had a cup full of chai, or let's say I had a pitcher or a pot full of chai and had a cup of water. If the cup is full of water, I can't put any chai in the cup because it's full of water. So what happens is if I want to use the cup to drink chai, I have to pour the water out of the cup so I have room to pour the chai into the cup and enjoy the chai. You see, our lives sometimes are filled with many other things. But for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, which happened in Jesus, we need to empty ourselves. Jesus emptied himself of all his rights as God, and God filled him with the Holy Spirit. See, you have to empty yourself, give yourself totally to God. See, if you're full of yourself and full of all you want to do and everything is about you, then there's no room for the Holy Spirit. There's no room for Jesus Christ in your life. No, you need to empty yourself out. You need to pour yourself out, empty yourself. That's consecration. You surrender yourself to God. The amount you surrender yourself to God, the more God is able to use you. So consecration is surrendering ourselves to God, for God to use us for his purpose and to accomplish his purpose. So Jesus consecrated himself when he was baptized. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God said, "This is my son, whom I am well pleased." And so God wants to consecrate us, to all of us, to himself. You know, in the Old Testament, they consecrated priests. They set priests apart to serve the children of Israel. In Exodus 28:41, it says, "So shall you put the robe on Aaron, your brother," talking to Moses, "and on his sons. You shall anoint them with oil and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister me as priests." This is Exodus 28:41. So God told Moses to consecrate Aaron and his son as priests, to set them aside as priests and to sanctify them that they may minister to me as priests. Minister to who? Minister to God. So a priest was set aside for two purposes. A priest was set aside to minister to God. In other words, when he went into the temple, he would minister to God. He would worship God, make sacrifice to God. But a priest also represented God to the people. So he was set aside for a specific purpose, to minister to God and to minister to God's people. But in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 through 6, Exodus 19, 5 through 6, God tells Moses to talk to the children of Israel and say, "Now therefore, if you," talking you the people of Israel, "now therefore, if you the people of Israel indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be to me a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So God spoke through Moses to the children of Israel and said, "You are my special treasure. I've set you apart over all the people on the earth, and you shall be a kingdom of priests." So we had the priests, Aaron and his sons, the Levitical priesthood. They ministered to God and they ministered to the nation of Israel. But all of Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests. In other words, all of Israel was supposed to worship God, and they were supposed to represent God to the people. The nation of Israel is a representation of God to the world, so that the world would know God. So God set the priests up to minister to him and to minister to the people of Israel, but God called all of Israel to be consecrated, separate apart, to be a kingdom of priests that would represent him before the world. And we have the same thing in the church today. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see God sets apart ministers in the church. And Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself," talking about God, "he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and some pastors, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Jesus Christ." So God is dedicated in the church, just like he dedicated priests in the Old Testament. He's dedicating the church certain leaders to minister to the people of the church. And those leaders are, he listened there, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are men and women who are consecrated, set apart to God. They have emptied themselves, and they're giving themselves to ministering to the body of Christ. He says their purpose is to minister or edify the body of Christ, till we, the body of Christ, come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man in the measure and stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ. So these five ministries are given to the church to build up the people of the church. But God has also ordained us as the church to minister to the world. And in 1 Peter 9 and 10, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, it says, "But you are," talking to us as believers today, "but you are a chosen generation, A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Who did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So Peter is writing to the church, and he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. So just like the God told the children of Israel, you are a nation of priests to represent me to the world, God has called us as a church to be a royal priesthood. Every Christian who has dedicated themselves to God, consecrated themselves to God, given themselves to God, are called a royal priesthood according to the New Testament, a holy nation, set apart to God for what people, for what purpose? To proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So our responsibility as a church, we are set apart and anointed by God in order that we can represent God to the world. Just as Israel was called to worship God and to serve God, but they were also called to represent God to the world as priests. We as children of God, we who have been born again, who have emptied our lives of ourselves, given our lives to Jesus Christ, we have been set apart. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We have been set apart by God to worship God, to serve God, to give our lives to God, to give our lives to Jesus Christ. And God has redeemed us from sin. God has brought us from sin. We have consecrated our lives to God. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit in order that we can declare the praise of God to the world. The church is God's representative to the earth. The church is the people of God are here. We are here as people of God to represent Jesus to the world. And so you have to consecrate yourself. You have to set yourself apart to serve God. You are a representative of Jesus Christ in the world today. Lord God, I pray for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. I pray, Lord God, they will understand that they are those who are believers, who are born again, those who have given their lives to Christ, those who have consecrated themselves to you. They are your ambassadors, Lord God. You have made them a special people. You have made them your priests that they may worship and serve you and they may represent you to the world. Lord, I pray you'll anoint your people today, listen to the voice of hope, to represent you, Jesus Christ, to the world, so the world can know about Jesus Christ. Lord, empower your people by the Holy Spirit. Help them to walk out their Christian life in love, joy, and peace, to represent the character and nature of God to the world. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to listen to the Voice of Hope. Invite your friends to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday on Sasa Radio at 7:30 on Sunday evenings. You can also go to my website, www.voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org, and listen to all my radio programs. God bless you. Have a great week walking with the Lord, and I'll come to you again next Sunday at 7:30 on Sasa Radio. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.